Welcome to Career Tools. This week, a cast many people have been asking for, how to ask for a raise, making the ask. Here we go. Folks, one of the ways you can be more effective when you communicate with other people is come to our Effective Communications Conference, where you'll learn how to pitch different people differently depending upon their natural tendencies. We'll teach you how to pay attention to other people and how to modify the way you communicate in order to be more effective. The single most important thing I ever learned in my professional career. Okay, so Wendy, this is a pretty big cast. People ask us this all the time. They're really upset that how to ask for a raise includes more than just going into their boss's office, plopping down and saying, I want some more money.
Yeah, because my wife told me to. Yeah. Sorry. And for anybody who's listening to this cast first, you have to go back and listen to the others first, because otherwise this one won't work. It will only work if you've done the work beforehand.
Yeah. And if that bothers you, we don't care. Yeah. You only ask for a raise if you've recently had a big success. And you've also have to have researched comparable pay, which is assumed that you've done it in this cast. And you've done all your calculations as well. So how are we going to tell them to make the ask?
Okay. So first of all, we're going to schedule time with your boss. Use your boss's DISC profile. So what you know about what they, how they listen, in order to put the most important things in their mind. Have all of your data. Know what you'll accept. And know what you'll do if the answer is no, which is probably one of the things that people haven't thought of.
I think people assume that they're going to get it. They want it, and so they should get it, yeah?
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll get there in a minute.
Yeah, there's a negotiating term called BATNA, Best Alternative to a Negotiated Agreement. And sometimes for the boss, the BATNA is no.
Yeah, and I don't care if I lose you. Like, I think there's 20 people. I worked for a boss once who... That one of his staff was complaining that she'd been moved into an office she didn't like. And he turned around to her and in a very, very patronizing tone said, Miss X, if you don't want this job, there's 20 people outside who I can employ tomorrow.
Well, let me say it now. We just had our one-on-one before we started this, and I recommended a book I'm just almost about to finish called Hashtag Girl Boss by Sophia Amoruso, who is the CEO of a female clothing line called Nasty Gal. I mentioned it to Kate, my daughter, and she said she's bought their clothes. And it's one of the best business books I've read in quite a while. And she talks very openly about it's okay to be yourself. It's okay to be different. You don't have to be, if you'll pardon the expression, folks, in her mind, when she was younger, a capitalist pig in order to get ahead. She's a very irreverent and what I think it's safe to say a non-mainstream sort of person in America. And she is absolutely the kind of boss I would want to go to work for. And one of the things she says is, you're darn right. If you need to come here, you need to work hard. Don't ask for a raise in your first year on the job. Don't ask for a title. Earn it. Over-earn it. It's a very refreshing, very candid, very, hey, you don't deserve anything other than what you've worked to earn kind of tone. Mm-hmm. So, folks, I'll be mentioning that in other venues, but for now, I highly recommend the book. Okay, so sorry, little aside there. Let's walk right through the agenda or the outline. Step one, schedule time.
Okay, so clearly you want to schedule time because you want your boss's undivided attention.
Yeah, you don't want to pop by. This is a huge mistake, folks. People pop by because they say, I don't want to schedule it. I don't want to make it too big a deal. This is a big deal. And if you pop by, the implication is you didn't have the guts to do the strategic planning, the hard work beforehand, and you're hoping that your boss will simply just cave, that it's just, it's simple. Here, boom, there we go. Yeah, no, it's not that easy.
You think it's going to be an uncomfortable conversation, and so you're avoiding having a long conversation or preparing your boss for having that conversation. One, if you have done all the work, it shouldn't be uncomfortable. And two, what are you saying by saying, I don't want to have uncomfortable conversations? That's a bigger message than just about money. So.
Exactly.
You don't need long. You just need like 30 minutes probably, but you do want it to be on his calendar. And in order to have the best outcome, you need to be speaking your boss's language. So first of all, you need to work out whether they're a listener or a reader. And we have a cast called is your boss a listener or a reader, I think. And if he's a reader, then you need to send the data first so he has a chance to read it, and then you can talk about it. If he's a listener, you tell him first, and then you send the data.
Yeah. So now, Wendy, I know people are thinking right now, okay, Wendy, fine, I'll do that. I'll schedule time. Am I going to tell my boss what I'm scheduling time for?
Yes.
Okay. See, now this is a classic case where you and I have a fundamental assumption. We assume everybody knows. You never make blind asks. In fact, I just not so politely told somebody in the staff, stop saying, you know, can I have 15 minutes on your calendar tomorrow? No, because I don't schedule time just to pour it down a drain unless I know what it's for. So yes, you're scheduling time to ask for a raise, folks. You don't ever schedule time without telling your boss what it's about. Oh, unless you've worked for your boss for 5 years and you say, look, I prefer not to discuss it before, in which case you might get a little bit of love, but frankly, there would be a little bit of frustration mixed in there as well. So we don't recommend it. Okay. All right. So we scheduled time. We know he's a reader or a listener. Next is use your boss's DISC profile.
Yeah. So if you can't work out, or if you want a shortcut to working out whether or not they're a listener or reader, S's and I's in the DISC profile are generally listeners.
Yeah, sorry, to be fair, though, I mean, really, it's not much of a short. It is a shortcut, but if you think you're not willing to listen to a podcast, or for that matter, if you're a licensee, download the show notes, which are about 5 pages. If you need a shorter shortcut than that for something as important as going through all the trouble of having researched stuff and having waited until the time is right and so on, then you don't have the hard work and dedication necessary to earn the raise. So, and if you're emotionally upset that you feel like somebody else in the office makes more than you, and that's why you're asking, and all this work is making it too hard for you to ask, that's part of the point.
Indeed.
Don't ask for something that's politically risky if you're not willing to do the hard work to justify the time and the political risk. And to be clear, I joke at conferences all the time, guys, when people ask me, when managers ask me, Mark, what do I say when my directs ask for a raise? I say, you say no. That's not to say that they're not justified, but, and there's all kinds of reasons to say no. But keep in mind, that's the default answer. And if you're not willing to work hard to overcome the default and you need a bunch of shortcuts, then you're probably going to end up with a no. That said, I think what you're going to say is S's and I's are generally listeners.
Yeah.
And when you say listeners, let's give them a little bit of clue about that podcast. What does that mean?
They would prefer to listen to your argument and have the data first. They prefer to have a conversation.
Right.
They're the kind of people that talk things through or have to talk in order to think about their ideas. So they want to talk first and then have the data. C's and D's are generally readers. They want to see the data, have thought about it, have got their thoughts in order before they have the conversation. It's a tough call if you just do it based on DISC, because it's not always the same. If you've got, for instance, you're a high D, high I, the D would say, I should send you stuff first. But actually, you much prefer to talk about it first and then have the stuff afterwards. So it's hard to, especially when people are have two strengths or have two, you know, two high parts in the D profile, it's hard to guess. So it would be better, a lot better, to listen to the cast and have some more detail and have thought about how people have reacted in the past in order to make that decision.
Right.
Because you want to get it right.
Right.
Right. So whatever profile your boss has, you want to start with the bottom line up front, because there's nothing worse as a boss than somebody pussyfooting around and saying, oh, well, I want to tell you about all of my strengths. And you're thinking, why are you telling me?
Yeah, why? Where are we going with this? Why?
Exactly. And if the answer is going to be no, because there's no budget or something has come down that says nobody's getting a raise this year or whatever, you're wasting emotional energy and political capital by having the conversation when you're not going to get the answer you want. So start at the beginning.
Yeah. And part of that is just being a boss. Okay, so what might they send to a high C analytical perfectionist reader boss?
So a high C, you would send something like this. Charlie, I sent an invite to you for a meeting to discuss my compensation. As you know, I've increased server productivity by over 100% as a result of the recent productivity push and delivered on time and budget. In addition, I've orchestrated the development of 400 SharePoint sites for our customers by managing the development team. This increases revenue in the future by $100,000 a month. Having researched the remuneration in comparable positions, see attachment, I believe that a salary of $100,000 is warranted, representing a 5.3% increase. So the attachment would then have all of your calculations and the comparable pay that you looked at, and the data that you have to support the number that you've just asked for.
Okay, good.
So lots of numbers, lots of very precise things.
No emotions, no, I really appreciate working for you. I know this is a touchy thing. You know, no, I hope. Right, just facts.
Bare facts.
Good. Okay.
So on the other hand, for a high S boss, someone who's much more, comes across as much more caring, isn't necessarily.
Oh, I find it interesting here. I think we're going to get some emails that you called the high C boss Charlie. That's a male name, but you called the high S boss Sally.
Because they're the two names that came to mind that began with the right letter.
Yeah. I get that every once in a while at conferences. Hey, the girl's name is a S name. Are you saying girls are soft and emotional? Whereas there were two other examples with girls, women's, female names that were high D, but you know.
We just missed those.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, go ahead.
So, email to Sally. Sally, I hope you're available for a meeting I've asked for on Monday. I'd be grateful if we could discuss my compensation. As you know, the server productivity push has gone very well. Bob and James are both very happy with the increase of over 100%. James was kind enough to compliment me on delivering the project on time and on budget. In addition, the developers have worked very well and we have developed 400 SharePoint sites for our customers. We have had great feedback on them on the work our team is doing. The increase in revenue from that project will, I hope, provide you with support to increase your budget next year. I have researched comparable pay in the area and would like to ask that my salary be increased to $100,000. I'd love to get your guidance on this, and I would be very grateful if you would take this request to HR and to James. I couldn't have done any of this without your support.
Yes.
It's much more appreciative and much more, tons of emotional words and tons of very gentle, soft askers.
Yeah.
Folks, askers. I just invented a word.
You did. You did. Do you know, folks, it's funny. We do this kind of thing every conference, every effective communications conference. And there's always one or two people who say, well, I don't want to do that. I just want to talk the way I talk. Yeah, okay. If you heard this and you kind of went, ugh, you know, I don't, then you're not alone. There are a bunch of people just like you who just want to be themselves and just communicate in a spare and direct and, for quite frankly, to a high S or high I, forceful way in email. And as the old Harvard cheer goes after they lost a football game, that's all right, that's okay, you'll all work for us someday. It's okay to not want to do this, but sooner or later you're going to realize that modifying how you communicate, especially with your boss, has great ability to make you a lot more effective by being sensitive. What Wendy is essentially saying here is, let's have some respect for behavioral diversity. And why wouldn't you try to convince someone of something in a language that made sense to them and not to you? Okay, if you're not willing to do this, that's fine. But don't come crying to us when you don't get your raise.
Yeah, and so if you're having the conversation, if you have a listener boss and you've gone and had the conversation first, you would have the conversation in the same or similar words, in the sense that you're going to follow their profile, but you would be verbally giving them in the meeting instead of sending them ahead.
Right. Okay. The third point you made was to have all the data.
Yes. So in bigger companies, you're going to have to give your boss the data in order to convince them of your case. They have to take it to HR. They have to be able to prove that this is a good thing. HR's job is to keep salaries down. And so there always is a tension between HR's total compensation budget that the CEO is always telling them to keep level, and the managers and the people who are working for them who want to increase their salaries. And so your boss, who is going to have to take the compensation request to HR or the CEO, is going to have data in order to overcome that tension. If I ask Mark for a salary increase, he only has to ask Mike, and they have to agree. So you might be somewhere where there's a small company and there's one decision maker and that's your boss. But it would still be good to have paperwork and some proof that you had this conversation.
Right.
you never know when, for some reason, you might need proof of something.
Yeah.
For some really weird reason, you know?
Yeah, have all your data. Have it printed out. Have it ready to go over. Not having it, those of you who are high eyes like me, who tend to avoid details often, even though us high eyes are smart enough to know details when we see them. We just sort of have disdain for them generally, sometimes to our benefit and sometimes to our great detriment, of course. The same way high C's have things that are to their benefit and to their detriment as well. Those high eyes, if you're listening and you're a high eye and you're like, you know, I really want to touch on it at the highest levels. To a high C or to a high D, you not having your data says this isn't important to you. And there are a lot of high D bosses. You not having your data says, I don't want you to see all of it. It's not as detailed as I would like. You're essentially hiding it. Now, you may not think of yourself as hiding it, but you can't argue that someone else who would normally bring that to a meeting, when they see that someone else doesn't, thinks, well, the only reason I wouldn't bring it to the meeting is if I was trying to hide it, if I didn't feel strongly that it was completely supportive of my position. And this is one of those classic cases where, because of a different style, a different communication approach, you end up with a negative before you start. And you could argue it's not your fault. Well, who cares? It doesn't matter whose fault it is. You've got the negative. Simple as that. And obviously, if you're talking to a high C, they're going to want to see all your calculations, right?
Yeah, you need an entire sheet just for them, showing where you looked for the data, what data you found, how you made the averages, all that stuff, so that they can feel really confident that the number they're going to somebody else with is a good number.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Next thing is, know what you'll accept.
So asking for a pay rise is a negotiation, just in case you hadn't worked that out or thought of it that way. And you are going to ask for the top end of whatever your calculations show. We know that just because you're human and everybody always asks for the top end of anything in order to think that and thinks that they'll get, you know, 60% of it or 80% of it or whatever. And if your slam dunk project that you started this whole campaign with 6 months ago, if that project was absolutely, you know, the set of fireworks that everybody is talking about in the company, you'll probably just get your top end requests and that'll be done with. But it's likely that there'll be a counter offer. And that could be anything. It could be a smaller amount. It could be an amount now and some later. It could be a bonus instead of a raise, or more vacation or some other benefit. It could be stock. It could be all sorts of things. And you have to know which of those things are going to be acceptable to you. So you've got your number and you're thinking, okay, they're going to pay me this in salary. But you've got to think about, okay, what other things might they offer me and which would I accept? Because if they offered you an extra 3 weeks vacation, if your family would, you know, appreciate dad being home or mum being home for 3 weeks, you might switch that out for extra salary. So you got to know that.
Would it be okay, knowing what you'll accept, would it be okay to say, hey, thanks, that's not what I expected, but I appreciate your willingness to do that. Can I have a chance to think about it?
Yeah, absolutely. Why would you not? I mean, not forever, like a couple of days.
Yeah.
Or especially things that impact family, you want to talk about with your family. But yeah.
Okay.
But the negotiations fall down when one party insists on making all of their having all of their demands met with no concessions. So if you think of divorces, the reason that divorces are so contentious is because both people want exactly what they want and they're not prepared to compromise because, you know, they've lost that relationship feeling that makes them want to compromise. And if you keep saying, I want the house, I want the house, I want the house, I want the house, and the other person is saying no, then you're stuck. You're just, you know, so you've got to be able to not be stuck on, okay, I want this number, but, you know, be able to compromise, be able to think, okay, there's benefits and other things, and I'm not necessarily going to get what I want.
Yeah, and another thing, folks, we tell bosses, if you say no and the person still comes to talk to you, that's fine. Maybe they have a case. And if they make a case, but you simply are unable to do it, you may be forced to say, unfortunately, at our company, we have a process and the process happens once a year. And if someone has told you that they've gotten a raise, outside of the system. My guess is their bosses said they're going to get a raise. The boss is committed to that. And or their situation was so out of whack that when HR saw it, HR agreed to it. And if you think bosses all by themselves can give you a raise, you're crazy. They can't.
The only place that happens is where the company consists of two people.
Yeah, guys, they can't. I mean, in bigger companies, payroll is controlled by a certain person. And you can't just send a note and say, increase this person's pay X. It doesn't work that way. There's controls. You know, people don't realize this, but companies have special accounts for payroll. And payroll doesn't come out of the general operating fund. And money has to be moved around. And there's less money in there than is absolutely necessary to do it because it's making money. It's invested often. Money is set aside and invested at short term in order to take care of payroll. And you simply can't just say, okay, you're getting a raise. When the boss says, yes, I agree, he or she has steps to go through. And those steps, there is some risk. Even amongst bosses who say, yes, I'll do it, there are steps with risk ahead.
Yeah, and when he says, yes, I agree, or yes, I'll do it, all he's saying is, yes, I agree. Like, he's not, in that moment, he's not speaking, he is speaking for the company, but he's only one person. He's not saying that everybody else is going to agree in the company. Yeah. He's not going to be able to go, okay, well, I think it's right, so I'm going to convince all these five people. One of those people might not be convinced.
Right. Okay, what's next?
Okay, so the solution to this is know what you'll do if the answer is no. You have to know what you'll do if there's an alternative, and you have to know what the answer is no. Then you can vote with your feet. You can decide to leave and get the pay you want elsewhere. And we tell you not to do that in a petulant way. Don't be in the boss's office and he says, no, I can't give you a raise, and you stamp your feet and go, well, I'm going out. Well, yeah. I'm going somewhere else. Don't resign with nowhere else to go. This is a negotiation, and you have to take it as a whole, in a holistic way, with all of the other information you know about the company. If they constantly say no to your demands and you don't feel like you're growing, and you know you've been unhappy and you think the money was going to change the way you felt, which we'd tell you it won't, but you know, if that's the way you were thinking, then start a discreet search and find somewhere else to go and then go.
Yeah, here's the way I was told people that worked with me or around me to handle this. Go in with all the hard work done in advance. And by the way, we haven't said it, guys, but for those reader bosses, you're going to send those emails we mentioned. And then in the meeting, you're actually going to then repeat everything. You're going to say, I'm here to ask for a raise. I'm asking for this much money. And let me explain my rationale. And so you'll walk through that verbally, even though you've already sent it. Okay. Those are the words you say in the meeting. Okay. But I've always recommended you go into the meeting assuming you're going to be told no peremptorily, immediately, just offhand, without even any thought. Wendy asked me for a raise and I say, no, go away. No, seriously, go away. Okay. The reason for that is I want you to have role played that a couple of times in your head so that you can practice saying, oh, okay, I'm sorry. I get it. I respect your decision, and walk out politely. And if you want to chuckle a little bit because your boss is so dismissive of it, do so. And if your boss says, why are you laughing? Says, well, look, I knew there was a risk, and I respect your decision. It's your decision, and I respect it. And if he or she says, well, are you okay with it? You look at me and say, of course I'm okay with it. It's your decision. And I've learned that when I ask other people for things, I'm essentially admitting by the ask that I don't control the thing that I want. If I did control it, I wouldn't have to ask somebody else for it. And so therefore, emotional maturity says I should be willing to accept any answer. Don't ask your friends for a favor, and then if they say no, act as if they're not your friend anymore. Yeah. It just doesn't work. Anytime you ask for something, be prepared to be rejected in advance. This is emotional maturity, professional maturity 101. The beauty of that is the boss then believes, oh, okay, there's no longer a crisis. But you can prepare yourself for handling that kind of what I would consider to be slightly dismissive, if not completely dismissive, response from your boss, particularly if you've gone to the hard work in advance. By doing that, you can prepare for it, and then you will have a lot less oversight of you by your boss when you start looking for another job, if in fact you really believe you're deeply underpaid, which is true. It does happen, but it's much more rare than most people believe, because everybody else lies about their pay so much that everybody assumes they're making $20,000 less than everybody else, when in fact you're probably not. Particularly at big companies where there's a bunch of people sitting around analyzing pay amounts all the time. So you go in preparing to be told no. You say, maybe I'll get lucky and be told yes. But part of the reason you go in preparing to be told no is that that increases your ability to have a poker face, so that when you walk out, if you've decided that you need to start looking elsewhere, and that would be a completely legitimate response, we might try to dissuade you, but we're not going to tell you you're wrong. And if that's what you decide to do, that's okay. But don't make it harder to do the search by acting as if the no is going to cause you to do a search, and now the boss is going to work around you or ask you more questions or be less willing for you to take a long lunch or ask why you're in a suit on a given day or not give you a half day off on a Thursday when you actually have enough comp time. Don't be dumb. Don't be dumb and act as if, oh, you didn't give me what I want, so now I'm going to take my ball and go home, when in fact, just the opposite will help you get more of what you want. I've never understood that. To come in and to ask is to say, I'm not in control of this. But then to act as if you feel like you should be in control of it by being petulant is ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous. Yeah. Sorry, that was a long thing.
No, it was good. Yeah. It was good. You explained it better than I did.
Yeah, all you're doing is continuing the political game. And folks, don't do what I did when I was young in my career. I had really good results, as Mike will tell you, and my results indemnified me against a lot of senior officers giving me a hard time, even though they did. But I wish now that I had done the politics thing when I was 21 and 22, because I still would have had the results, but I'd had a lot more support from senior people.
So the alternative is, if you don't decide that you're going to start a campaign to leave, you can decide to stay. And that's perfectly reasonable to decide to stay.
Yeah.
And you can have a conversation with your boss about, at a later stage, about what you need to do in order to get the raise that you want. You probably don't want to have that conversation immediately, but maybe in a couple of weeks. You can start the next project and be brilliant and try again. You can work on your network so that your boss's peers and your boss's bosses know how brilliant you are, so that your mm-hmm. boss feels more comfortable taking it to his boss. There's like 20 things you could do that still make you feel like you're moving forward on this campaign for a raise, but don't necessarily constantly, I'm going to go into my boss's office and ask again next week. That's not going to work.
Part of emotional and therefore professional maturity is handling losses gracefully. Okay? You're going to lose a lot in your career. Okay? You're going to lose a lot. Acting as if you didn't get what you want, acting emotionally insecure if you don't get what you want, is a sign that you're not ready for greater responsibilities. If you're going to be an executive someday, part of an executive's life is dealing with the chaos and uncertainty and essentially therefore risk of the outside world. If you're not willing to embrace risk, you're not going to be a great executive. And when it comes to risk, there's nobody who sees risk and always wins. And the idea that you're going to lose when you take a risk and then stamp around as if you didn't get what you wanted is a sign that you're not professionally mature. And why would I want to reward someone who's not professionally mature? Yeah. Well, the answer is I wouldn't.
So no sulking, no working to rule, no yeah. negative emotions. Just get back to work.
Yeah, get back to work. And we respect the fact that you may have done good analysis and shown that your boss really is notably underpaying you. In which case, we encourage you to find something else where you feel good about your pay. We're not going to suggest that $5,000 more a year will make you feel any better, but we'll stand by you and say, we would have made the same decisions, and your company is showing you that they don't value you. Now, obviously, there are times when, in a downturn, there's not a lot any company can do, But by the way, don't confuse the increase in pay you get at that new company with them saying, we value you more than the other company. Because the increase in pay you often get leaving one company to go to another is simply to reimburse you for the loss of goodwill that you go through when you leave one company and go to someplace else. Thus, that's why we have internal salary compressions at companies. So.
I'll sum up. So we said schedule time, use your boss's disk profile, have all your data, know what you'll accept, and know what you'll do if the answer is no.
Wendy, I think we should do another cat. We should do a part two of this cast at some point in the next 3 or 4 months, and we should role play the ask for all four of the
Oh,
disk
cool.
profiles.
That'll be
Yeah,
fun.
that'd be a lot of
Yeah.
fun. And I think there's some people right now going, okay, but you didn't tell me the exact words. Well, actually, we did in the emails, but I think we can get them a little bit more detail, and that'll be helpful.
Cool. Asking for a raise is like the Christmas rule. It only comes around once a year, but it's a really important thing. So we don't have a lot of practice at it.
Right.
And when it goes wrong, because we've got so much emotion invested in it, we get really
Yeah.
upset. So expect to fail a couple of times before you learn how to do it right. Expect to be told no a few times when you ask for a raise before you get it right. And what you're paid is not your value as a human being. It's
Exactly.
lots of us would say nurses and firefighters and ambulance people and teachers and all those people who are valuable to society should be paid more. And so their value is not their salary. It's a
Clearly.
business negotiation. Exactly. And I was reading the other day, Mary Barra, who's the recent G
Yeah,
CEO
CEO.
of
Yeah.
GM, she was asked if she'd ever asked for a promotion or a raise, and she said no to both. So you don't have to ask for raises. You don't have to ask for promotions. You can be brilliant and have a successful career. It'll just happen for you if you're that good.
And what that means is, guys, that if you're not being offered a raise, there's a chance that your assumption that you deserve a raise is inaccurate. We're not saying it is, but there is a chance that it is inaccurate. If a CEO never asked for a raise or a promotion and ended up as CEO, maybe what that means is that she knew she was doing well and the company would eventually reward her, and they did.
Yeah.
Good.
Awesome.
Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. That's it. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you never have to use it because it always comes before you have to ask.